popular speaker and the author of 20 books, including the book Feminist Fantasies, that reveals the feminist influence on the media, on college campuses, and right in your children's classrooms. Now here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
Now that America is importing most of the ingredients in our prescription drugs and the majority of the foods we eat, it's important to look behind the label. It may or may not tell you where the products come from. Your prescription drugs may be coming from communist China. Drug research in China has fallen under a cloud because 13 of the top 20 global drug makers have set up research and development centers in China. Yes, it's cheaper to do research there, but as one auditor said, with cheaper research comes greater risk. For example, researchers did not report the results of animal studies about a drug already being tested in humans, a breach described by the drug researchers as a mortal sin. Auditors also report that Chinese workers did not properly monitor clinical trials, and they paid hospitals in ways that could be seen as bribery. Free trade is bringing us fish raised in China's six rivers. By the time the fish swim to the fish ponds, the water has been accumulating raw sewage, agricultural pesticides, and the heavy metal output of poorly regulated industrial plants. China's planned purchase of pork producer Smithfield Foods for $4.5 billion has U.S. officials concerned about how this could affect the safety and availability of heparin. That's an important blood thinner derived from pig intestines that is widely used in U.S. heart surgery and kidney dialysis. In 2007 and 8, 94 Americans died after being treated with contaminated heparin. An increasing percentage of vaccines is manufactured in China and sold in U.S. pharmacies. China boasts of 30 vaccine-producing companies that will soon be producing 1 billion doses a year.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Want your voice heard? At eagleforum.org, in a blog conversation with Phyllis Schlafly, we want to hear your firsthand experience with the U.S. unemployment crisis. Where did the jobs go? Is the solution more government spending or cutting taxes? Join the blog at eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
The current declaration of martial law and coup in Thailand, while significantly impacting tourism, has been met by expats and in-country tourists with a what-coup attitude. While internal political changes must be made before the upcoming elections, the curfew is now largely ignored in tourist areas. Translation? Great hotels and cheap flights at unheard-of savings. Veterans, VA lost your paperwork again? Visit AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com for life-saving treatments and surgery at fractions of U.S. prices. And a really cool vacation afterwards. Hit us up at AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Herbal Healer Academy presents its spring specials. All sizes of our 500 parts per million colloidal silver are on sale, along with products to help you lose weight, like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic. That's not all. Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom, Wormwood Plus Complex, Stevia Liquid Sweetener, and the Super Enzymes are on sale. Visit HerbalHealer.com to order yours. Request our free 128-page catalog. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time. HerbalHealer.com.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
Thank you for joining us here at Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, your host for the remainder of this hour, and you are listening to Datum Line. In our last Datum Line broadcast, entitled Values Clarification, Part 19, we continued with the subject of interracial marriage and cohabitation, or miscegenation, from a biblical perspective that continued to exert its influence on our Anglo-European ancestors well into the 20th century. Many of our older listeners remember the increase in America's promiscuous or indiscriminate sexual behavior over the last few decades, this being driven by media advertising, Hollywood filmmakers, federal legislation, and Supreme Court decisions on behalf of a new religion that was replacing the old-time religion of our colonial forefathers. Politics, you remember, is the administration of a nation's predominant moral standards that are derived from its prevailing religion. And corporate Christianity has made some serious changes in order to accommodate a rising humanist socialist mindset. Somehow, in its evolutionary process, mainstream religion was transformed into a thriving business that now appeals to a broad spectrum of spiritual consumers, where the customer is always right, or at least no one is ever wrong. The purpose of our current series, once again, is to highlight the underlying cause of America's shift from a decentralized free enterprise economy to a centralized credit system, and to explain why a constitutional solution in harmony with Scripture is not an acceptable option for today's socialist American. Almost every solution proposed for overhauling the Federal Reserve System will bring us into strict compliance with the Communist Manifesto's fifth plank, written by Moses Mordecai Levy, alias Karl Marx. Specifically, quote, centralization of credit, not money, credit, in the hands of the state by means of a national bank with state capital and an exclusive monopoly, end quote. Economic reformers and Federal Reserve critics of virtually every stripe, from populist to Nazi, endorse a Marxist revolution, all of them players in a false economic paradigm. Peel away the veneer and read between the lines to see that virtually no one wants a constitutional solution. To build their case against our forefathers, they misconstrue the clear and simple language of the Constitution, which prohibits all bills of credit, no Federal Reserve notes, no United States notes, or gold and silver certificates. The Constitution and the Bible are too radical for today's liberals and conservatives who reject the use of gold and silver coin and God's requirement of just weights and measures implemented in the Coinage Act of April 2, 1792. If we cannot accept God's principles of economic justice, then the idea of nationalizing the Federal Reserve's crime of credit creation will appeal to our humanist, communist, fascist, or socialist sensibilities. To give a biblically unlawful power to Congress, a power withheld by omission and thus denied by the Constitution, is to perpetuate a lawless credit system and the consequences which accompany so great a national sin. The religion of our forefathers, who ensured that prohibition in the Constitution, saw clearly what is so thoroughly concealed from socialist reformers today by their modern religious beliefs. Having accepted the law of God as their standard by which sin is defined, our forefathers walked in the shadow of their biblical forebears, known as Israel. Colonial sermons and proclamations made use of that special name, as if it applied to Anglo-European Americans as the physical descendants of ancient Israel, a concept that's totally lost on most Christians today. Dividing God's word against itself by pitting the newer Greek passages against the older Hebrew text, today's seminary-trained pastors have crippled the church with a biblical interpretation that has separated our people from their ancient roots and the lawful principles of God. In 1773, for example, shortly before America's War for Independence, a public proclamation was issued by the citizens of Marlborough, Massachusetts, who identified themselves as the people of Israel, resisting their tyrannical King George of England by declaring that, quote, "death is more eligible than slavery. A freeborn people are not required by the religion of Jesus Christ to submit to tyranny." They went on to say that we, quote, "implore the ruler above the skies that he would make bare his arm in defense of his church and people, and let Israel go." So you see, church and people, his people, was Israel. This from Peter Marshall's and David Manuel's book entitled The Light and the Glory, 1491 to 1793, God's Plan for America, published in 2009 at page 324. On page 367 of the same book, The Light and the Glory, we find a colonial minister, William Stearns, who, after the Battle of Concord and Lexington, used the following words to enlist support for the American revolutionary cause, saying, quote, "When God in his providence calls to take the sword, if any refuse to obey, heaven's dread artillery is leveled against them." He went on to say, "Cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood." Now that's a phrase taken from Jeremiah 48, verse 10. "Cursed is the sneaking coward who neglects the sinking state when called to its defense. Oh, then flee this dire curse. Let America's valorous sons put on the harness, nor take it off till peace shall be to Israel." End quote. To Israel? These were English subjects. And yet something stirred them to recognize that a link was forged between themselves and their Hebrew kinsmen of the Bible. In our last message, we reviewed a few extracts from the Humanist Manifesto II from 1973 regarding the absurdity of what they call moral equality, made possible, they said, by, quote, "elimination of all discrimination or differentiation based on race, religion, sex, age, or national origin." In other words, every political persuasion, no matter how tyrannical, posited on whatever religion or moral standard imaginable, is of equal dignity, to be tolerated no matter how perverse, corrupt, or destructive of a free and self-governing society. And unfortunately, many of our libertarians are not interested in or capable of self-government, so they will have to be governed by tyrants. Today's libertarian children, for example, are equal with their parents. Homosexuality and bestiality are equal with heterosexual marriage. Any religion, such as Talmudic Judaism, that condones perverse sexual connections between adults and children under the age of three, perhaps even your own children, is morally equivalent to Christianity, and you have no right to object, rebuke, or defend against it. All consumer products manufactured in humanist countries like China that harvest and sell human organs from their political prisoners are as morally acceptable as products made in other countries. You have no right to boycott those consumer goods as a form of religious, political, or economic protest. Like potato chips or corn chips, made from maybe corn, soybean, safflower, or perhaps cottonseed oil, we'll soon have to guess which country our products come from. so as to prevent our racial, religious, or ethnic discrimination. With this kind of nonsense, religious humanists propose an integrated global community, from principle number 11, of world law based on transnational government, from principle number 12. In essence, you have no right to move out of a crime-ridden ghetto to a more self-governing community if your motive is to separate from pagan culture in search of like-minded people who live a more Christian or orderly lifestyle. To do so is government or a government-created hate crime called racism. Today's message, Values Clarification, Part 20. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, and you are listening to Bottom Line.
Dozens of diseases, ranging from the common cold and flu to MRSA and pneumonia, are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Fortunately, a simple, safe, and effective alternative exists. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that is safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold and yeast, and a limited number of parasites. It can even purify water. Supernatural Silver comes in both liquid and gel for internal or external use. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, research institutions, and nursing homes, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon in the fight against disease. To see how Supernatural Silver can give you and your loved ones protection and peace of mind, go to SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off and like us on Facebook.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll free 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
It's time to utilize your Second Amendment right. No better way than at Knob Creek Gun Range. Check out the large variety with over 3,000 guns in stock. Also, reloading supplies, ammunition, and low admission. Only $10 per person per day. $5 for children 12 and under. And 50% off for active duty and retired military with valid ID. If you don't own any firearms, no problem. You can rent one of ours. Knob Creek Gun Range supplies all your shooting needs. Go to KnobCreekRange.com for more information. Range memberships are available. Visit KnobCreekRange.com today.
Welcome back to this segment of Datum Line. Our message today, Values Clarification, Part 20. As a bit of review and background for our new listeners, let's pick up where we left off on the front side of our first break at principle number 11, the Humanist Manifesto 2, which says in part, quote, "We deplore racial, religious, ethnic, or class antagonisms," end quote. Well, so do I. And that's why different racial or ethnic groups secured to themselves separate countries so as to avoid unnecessary class antagonisms. From principle number 11, Humanist Manifesto continued, they said, quote, "Although we believe in cultural diversity and encourage racial and ethnic pride, we reject separations. Now, that means white separations, which promote alienation and set people in groups against each other. You see, they don't have any problem with Chinatown or enclaves of Puerto Ricans or Hispanics or black areas and so forth. It's the whites who can't set themselves apart. But is it the separation of different cultures that promotes alienation and sets people in groups against each other? Or do they separate from other cultures, subcultures, so as to preserve and perpetuate their unique diversity? It's the unnatural and forced integration of diverse people and groups that is the cause of so much friction among people who prefer to be left alone and to live among their own kind. If, for example, the black Africans had been given a choice as to whether they wanted a free transatlantic boat ride to America while being chained below decks, surely they would have stayed home. Whether the same could be said for the countless white slaves of Ireland, Scotland, or England is less certain. But their presence here would not create so formidable a problem among their close or closer kinsmen. Later on, as did the importation of a far more divergent or alien population with whom we had very little in common. However, what seems to be more certain is that what the God of Israel intended for his creation, despite our efforts to improve upon his divine plan, was a homeland for each culture, perhaps to prevent amalgamation, which might create new problems later on that we could not foresee. According to one controversial text from the Bible, found in Deuteronomy chapter 32, we read, "When the Most High," that being God, the Most High, "divided to the nations their inheritance." Now, that was perhaps when God, in Genesis chapter 11, separated us all at the Tower of Babel by changing our languages. "When he separated the sons of Adam," now that's a key word, we may come back to that, I don't know, "he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel." That from Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 8. He set the bounds of the people. Now, this verse is restated somewhat differently in Acts chapter 17, and has become the springboard for a new interpretation among modern Christians favoring global integration. Depending on how we factor this verse into the rest of the Bible, or if we lift it out of biblical context altogether, our interpretation will differ radically. For now, we'll focus on an obvious element that's consistent between the Hebrew text, found in Deuteronomy 32, and the Greek iteration of Acts chapter 17, found specifically at verse 26, but for context, we'll begin at verse 24, where it says, "God, that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." Okay, so God hath determined the bounds of their habitation. The globalists gained another advocate for miscegenation with a book that takes its title from two words used in Acts 17:26. One blood, to support an underlying premise found in its subtitle, The Biblical Answer to Racism. Author, Ken Ham, Carl Weiland, and Don Batten, published in 1999. The cover depicts one drop of blood in which is found a Caucasian, a Negro, and an Asian, who we are to presume are all one and the same in an attempt to give biblical credence to the humanist idea of a global village. But their message goes deeper, that God intended to amalgamate his people, Israel, with the rest of humankind, despite what God specifically told them in Exodus, Deuteronomy, and elsewhere. However, we see from these two verses, at least, that the Lord is consistent in that he determined, set, or fixed the bounds or the boundaries of our habitations. In Acts chapter 17, verse 26, those bounds or boundaries were determined, while the verse to which the author, Luke, made reference and he was referencing Deuteronomy 32:8, employed another word, the word being set. So, letting the Bible interpret itself, we can safely conclude that determined, found in Acts 17:26, and the word set, found in Deuteronomy 32:8, are synonymous. But for some people, this approach might be too simple. So let's first examine the New Testament word determined, which is the Greek word horizo, from which we get the word horizon. And then the Old Testament word set, which is the Hebrew word nasab. Horizo means literally to mark out or bound. And it is figuratively to appoint, decree, or specify. Now, it's translated in the King James Version of the Bible in several different ways. It's translated in some places as the word declare. Sometimes it's determine. Others, it's limit. And sometimes it's the word ordain. Now, you can determine this from Strong's exhaustive concordance to the Bible, which is key to the King James. Now, if we go to Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language, published by Noah Webster in 1828, for the word determine, we specifically pick up the third definition, which is applicable to our subject today, which means, he says, quote, to fix on, to settle or establish, as to determine the proper season for planting seeds. Then he quotes a biblical text, which he oftentimes does. Quote, God hath determined the times before appointed. This, he says, he takes from Acts chapter 17. Well, lo and behold, that's from verse 26, isn't it? Now, that's the same verse where he, God, determined the bounds of our habitations. What a coincidence, huh? Now to the Hebrew word nasab, which in Deuteronomy 32 is the word used where it says God set, or nasab, the bounds of the people, which means literally to station, or fix, I guess you might say, and is translated variously in the King James as appointed, erect, establish, present, rear up, set over, set up, settle, establish, instead of establish, make to stand, standing, stand still, stand up, stand upright. These being some of the relevant examples, also from Strong's exhaustive concordance. Going to the American Dictionary of the English Language, Noah Webster, 1828 again, the word set. To put, place, or fix, to render motionless, to regulate or adjust, as to set a timepiece by the sun. Wow, that's how they did it. They set their watches by the sun. Well, that's probably not too accurate, but we don't do that today, I guess. To fix firmly, to predetermine, and so forth. It should be obvious that what God told Israel in Deuteronomy 32 regarding this topic was reiterated in the Acts of the Apostles, who, like Peter, Paul, and Luke, were also Israelites. Well, here's our music. This is our next break. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy. You're listening to Datum Line, and today's message, Values Clarification, Part 20.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Dozens of diseases ranging from the common cold and flu to MRSA and pneumonia are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Fortunately, a simple, safe, and effective alternative exists. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that is safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold and yeast, and a limited number of parasites. It can even purify water. Supernatural Silver comes in both liquid and gel for internal or external use. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, research institutions, and nursing homes, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon in the fight against disease. To see how Supernatural Silver can give you and your loved ones protection and peace of mind, go to SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off and like us on Facebook.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. EscapeHarassment.com.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Back to this half of this installment of Datum Line Values Clarification Part 20. With regards to the two verses of Scripture that we were comparing on the other side of this break, you know, if we were to presuppose that God is not confused, then maybe we wouldn't confound what he says in the Bible. We confuse these two verses and others, however, by bringing to the 17th century King James English text our modern definitions and media-inspired prejudices, instead of formulating our conclusions by building one scripture upon another. For example, one of the major building blocks in our biblical understanding is the covenant that God made with Abraham, who, according to Genesis chapter 17 and verse 4, was the father of many nations. His grandson, Jacob, Israel, had 12 sons who begat the 12 tribes or nations of Israel, spoken of as goy, that's the Hebrew word, ethnos, that's the Greek word, or Gentiles, which is the Latin word for nations. So would it be proper to say that Abraham was the father of 12 different races? Probably not. But in Acts 17:26, where God hath made of one blood all nations, that's the word ethnos, by the way, of men. Now, that means Adam or Adamites, according to Deuteronomy 32. It's easy to misinterpret one blood of all nations as being synonymous with one blood of all races. But our nation and race, synonymous. English, Germanic, and related Europeans are said to be of the Caucasian racial stock, but they're of different nationalities. Additional confusion arises with the phrase one blood, which the authors Ken Ham, Carl Weiland, and Don Batten imply in their book One Blood, The Biblical Answer to Racism, flows through the veins of every human on the planet. Really? Well, you do well to avoid indiscriminate blood transfusions from a donor whose blood is incompatible with yours. A study of blood types, A, B, O, positive and negative, should dispel any notion that only one blood flows through everyone. Since that phrase appears in the King James Version, let's see what the translators meant by the word blood in Acts chapter 17 and verse 26. We'll go to Webster again, the American Dictionary of the English Language, published in 1828 for the word blood, and the definition which applies in this case is definition number two, which is, quote, kindred, relation by natural descent from a common ancestor. Consanguinity. That's an interesting word. What does that mean? Well, checking Webster's 1828 just to make sure, that, he says, is the relation of persons by blood, in distinction, or we might say contradistinction, from affinity or relation by marriage. You see, you can marry people who are not of the same blood. You can marry people of completely different racial stock, for example. Okay? Anyway, here's the verse that Noah Webster selected that was applicable to definition number two. God hath made of one blood all nations of the earth. Acts chapter 17. Well, he didn't quote that exactly right, and his view of this text appears to be influenced by a popular presupposition that Adam is the father of all humankind on the entire planet. We'll explore another perspective in another message. But for now, let's continue with the subject of intermarriage as revealed in the Bible to show how our Anglo-European ancestors could arrive at a far different conclusion from what has become popular concerning this extremely emotional subject. We ended our last message with a little background to explain the book of Ezra, from which we'll now draw some insight as to how the Israelites sinned against God by marrying people who were categorically off limits. These Israelites in the southern kingdom of Judea, they being Judahites, Benjamites, and Levites, were collectively known as Judeans, a word that was shortened to Jew, who had been defeated in a battle with the king of Babylon. Now, that was Nebuchadnezzar, and this is around 586 B.C. The survivors of that conflict were enslaved and deported to Babylon. Then, under King Cyrus of Persia, allowed to return and rebuild the city of Jerusalem, a task completed under another king, King Artaxerxes I. According to Nehemiah, this found in Nehemiah chapter 7, those who returned, mostly being men, it being a four-month trek from Babylon to Jerusalem, numbered about 50,000. A lack of eligible brides redirected Israelite eyes to the forbidden ladies living nearby, resulting in mixed marriages, which came to the attention of Ezra, a devout man of God. Well, let's turn to the book of Ezra, starting at chapter 9, verse 1, and we'll read the entire chapter, and you can see that this is going to be something that you wouldn't miss if you were reading the Bible through. In fact, it was John Adams, the second president of the United States, who made it a point to read the Bible from cover to cover once a year. And he lived to be a pretty ripe old age. Ezra chapter 9, verse 1. Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, now they're included, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed, this is the children of Israel, the holy seed, have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass. And when I, Ezra, heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle. Now, there'd be a part of his cloak or something. And plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonied, we might say astonished. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Israel because of the transgression of those that had been carried away into the captivity. And I sat astonied until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice I arose up from my heaviness of heart, and having rent my garment, or torn my clothes, and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush. Now, that's an interesting word. And it's interesting that it appears in this chapter, because the word blush means to show red in the face. And the word Adam, by the way, is not a translated word. It's actually a transliterated word from the Hebrew word Adam, number 120 in Strong's, which is derived from number 119. And it means to show blood in the face, to blush, to be rosy. And if you look around, I think you're going to find that probably not everybody on 2 feet is able to blush. So here it is. He says, I am ashamed and blush. So these people have that ruddy complexion. They are Adamic people, you see. And I lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in the great trespass unto this day. And for our iniquities have we, our kings and our princes, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face. This is literally shame, as it is this day. And now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments. We'll get to one of them. Which thou hast commanded by thy servants, the prophets, saying, the land unto which ye go to possess it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations, which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever. Now that's a long time, I think. That ye may be strong, and eat the good of the land, and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and hast given us such deliverance as this, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Well, here's our music. But you get my drift. This is Datum Line. Today's message, Values Clarification, Part 20, and I'm Bruce G. McCarthy.
Dozens of diseases ranging from the common cold and flu to MRSA and pneumonia are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Fortunately, a simple, safe, and effective alternative exists. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that is safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold and yeast, and a limited number of parasites. It can even purify water. Supernatural Silver comes in both liquid and gel for internal or external use. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, research institutions, and nursing homes, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon in the fight against disease. To see how Supernatural Silver can give you and your loved ones protection and peace of mind, go to SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off and like us on Facebook.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking Extendovite. It's been approved to help my heart.
Extendovite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. Extendovite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about Extendovite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking Extendovite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Herbal Healer Academy presents its spring specials. All sizes of our 500 parts per million colloidal silver are on sale, along with products to help you lose weight, like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic. That's not all. Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom, Wormwood Plus Complex, Stevia Liquid Sweetener, and the Super Enzymes are on sale. Visit HerbalHealer.com to order yours. Request our free 128-page catalog. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time. HerbalHealer.com.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
Welcome back to the final segment of Dotem Line, today's message, Values Clarification, Part 20. You know, we were reading from Ezra chapter 9, and pretty well finished the chapter, so you got the gist of what was being said. But, you know, this was a difficult chapter for our colonial ancestors to ignore, especially when confronted by various North American Indian tribes who acquired the name savage, a word used in the Declaration of Independence, for example, to marry them, or the Africans who arrived a little later, could invite serious consequences for later generations, they thought, generations like ours. So a clear directive on the subject from God was needed. But for some people, the message seemed inconsistent. In the Hebrew Scriptures, the prohibition against marrying outside of one's genetic lineage looked pretty convincing. But in the Greek text, they found an admonition like, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, obviously you don't preach it to every creature. We don't preach it to aardvarks and all that sort of thing, do we? Thus, to the Indians and black Africans, many would make the effort to preach. But in which verse did the Bible say to marry them? Well, for some people, it doesn't take too much convincing to ignore a direct command from God. Easier still is to deny the present-day existence of Israel, a people prophesied to lose that name and become known by another. If we're not a descendant from one of those 12 tribes, then we're not under the law. So we can do what we want, right? Does this sound familiar? And look where it's gotten us. Furthermore, we're programmed to call modern-day Jews the chosen people. But at best, this could only account for one tribe, the tribe of Judah. Where are the offspring of Asher, Benjamin, Dan, Gad, Issachar, Joseph, or his sons Ephraim and Manasseh, Levi, Naphtali, Reuben, Simeon, and Zebulun? God's eternal covenant includes them as well. Well, while mulling that one over, let's move along to Ezra chapter 10. And that will be verse 1, 2, and 3. Ezra chapter 10, verse 1, 2, and 3. Now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. And Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, We have trespassed against our God, and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Now, those strange wives are Nocri. That's number 5237. It's wrong. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. Now, therefore, let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and such as are born of them, according to the counsel of my Lord, and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. End quote. Well, what law? Well, my Bible actually cross-references to a law, and that's found in Deuteronomy chapter 7, which we read in a previous installment of this series. Deuteronomy 7, verse 1 through 6. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. But God didn't say that they might do that. He said that they will. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. See, that's what God requires. It has nothing to do with, if you're an Israelite, it has nothing to do with what you want. That's what you're commanded to do. Now, if you're not an Israelite, no problem. Okay. Now, this law was reiterated, in a way, I guess you might say, in Deuteronomy chapter 20, starting at verse 10, concerning laws of warfare. When thou comest nigh unto a city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it. And it shall be, if it make thee answer of peace, and open unto thee, then it shall be that all the people that is found therein shall be tributaries, that be slaves, unto thee, and they shall serve thee. And if it will make no peace with thee, but will make war against thee, then thou shalt besiege it. And when the Lord thy God hath delivered it into thine hands, thou shalt smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword. I guess they should have surrendered, huh? But the women and the little ones, and the cattle, and all that is in the city, even all the spoil thereof, shalt thou take unto thyself. And thou shalt eat the spoil of thine enemies, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Thus shalt thou do unto all the cities which are very far off from thee, which are not of the cities of these nations. Okay? So there were some people that Israel could marry. But of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth. But thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that they teach you not to do after all their abominations, which they have done unto their gods. So should ye sin against the Lord your God. Wow. I know, sounds kind of confusing. So let's go back to Ezra chapter 10, and we'll notice, for example, and I think I'll just kind of skip through here just a little bit, maybe verse, say, 10. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. But the people are many, and it is a time of much rain, and we are not able to stand without, neither is this a work of one day or two. For we are many that have transgressed in this thing. Let now our rulers of all the congregation stand, and let all them which have taken strange wives in our cities come at appointed times, and with them the elders of every city, and the judges thereof, until the fierce wrath of our God for this matter be turned from us. Jumping down to verse 17, and they made an end with all the men that had taken strange wives by the first day of the first month. Now, it didn't say he made an end of the men by killing them. But it took a while. There were so many people who had made this trespass. You know, in light of what Jesus said in Matthew 15:13, that every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up, it's hard not to think of Monsanto and genetically modified organisms. But after reading some of these verses, it's easy to see a broader application. And it may well pertain to our indiscriminate mixing of genetics among the most complex life forms that God created. Perhaps he had a mind to preserve the different people, just as he created them, a process which could only be accomplished if they did not mix. It's conceivable that Colonel Byrd of Colonial Virginia overlooked such a possibility, while some of his peers did not. He believed that the only way to convert the North American Indians to Christianity was, quote, charitably to intermarry with them, end quote, while many of his peers emphatically disagreed. In our next message, we'll explore this subject a little more in detail, and we'll look at some of the legislation that our ancestors passed dealing with the subject, forbidding interracial marriage with the Indians, with blacks, and with mulattoes. Now, this is not a comfortable subject, but it's part of our history. And if we don't understand our history, we are going to repeat it. As the saying goes, those who forget history or ignore it are doomed to repeat it. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy. This has been Datum Line. I hope this has been of interest to you. Thank you for listening, and have a good day. So long.